Hey family, it's good to be with you. Thanks for joining us as we get into God's Word. I want to begin a series this morning through the book of Romans, and specifically chapter 8. This is a chapter that has been very formative for me and my faith. There's just a lot of promises, a lot of encouragement in it. And so my hope is that we would be encouraged in this season, in the Lord, in the gospel, in the hope of what He's done for us and what He will do and what He continues to do in our midst, that we would really be a people who cling tightly to the gospel. And we're going to get into that today. The title of this message is The Glory of the Gospel. The Glory of the Gospel. And Romans is really a book about the gospel, and that Paul is laying forth what that means, and we're going to talk about what he's meaning by the word gospel as we get into that. We're going to begin in Romans chapter 1 this morning. Romans chapter 1. I think we want to start at the beginning here as we kind of set the stage for Romans 8. But my hope in this season is that we would be a people who are passionate for the message of the gospel, for the glory of God, that we would understand that we have a purpose here on this earth, and it's not just to get a degree or get a good job or have a nice family. We're here for a bigger cause. We're here for the cause of Christ. And life is truly, it's all about Christ. It's all about furthering His kingdom in the world. And when we align ourselves with that mission, we find ourselves in that sweet spot in life. Right? There could be a million things going wrong in your life, but if you're aligned with the mission and purpose of God, that is enough. And that's what we see throughout Scripture, that this call to proclaim and preach the gospel, that this is really the central thing that the Scripture emphasizes. And we see this no clearer than in the life of Paul. And Paul was a man who had been radically transformed on the road to Damascus. Some of you know his name was Saul. He was a persecutor of Christians. And the Lord met him on the road to Damascus as he's about to go and persecute Christians. And he has a radical encounter with the Lord, and his life is forever changed. And so he's writing to these believers in Rome. He's never met them, but he's writing to them about the gospel message. And for us as a community, I don't ever want us to lose sight of the gospel. This is something that is oftentimes assumed in churches. We just assume that people know what the gospel is. We're like, okay, we talk about it here and there. We hear it all the time. And I think we sometimes are like, okay, well, tell me something new. Tell me something else. Tell me something deeper. And I think the call of Scripture is for us to really dive deep in the gospel. You never graduate from the gospel. There are no grace graduates. You merely go deeper in your understanding and knowledge and love of the gospel. And as we look at Romans chapter 8, my hope is that we would be a people who are passionate for the gospel, that we would have a deep understanding and love for what Jesus has done for us. And we're going to talk about what the gospel is this morning. And as we look at Romans 8 in the coming weeks, we're going to talk about the implications of the gospel and how the gospel affects our daily lives and our future hope. But first, I want us to look at Romans chapter 1. So if you have a Bible, please turn to Romans chapter 1. I want us to see these words here. They're inspired by the Holy Spirit. Look at Romans 1, and we'll look at just verses 1 through 7. Paul says this. He says, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness by His resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of His name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we can gather together, Lord, and really come under the authority of your word. We thank you that it is a living book, that you've inspired it, that these words are God-breathed, they're from you, that holy men of God wrote these things, spoke these things as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, and that you've preserved this word for us, God. And so I pray that we would bring ourselves in alignment with your word, that we would be a people who are passionate about the gospel, who have this deep sense of joy in what you've done for us, that we would rejoice in the God of our salvation, and that we would spread this gospel to people around us. I pray you bless this time as we look at Romans 8, as we get into this series, that you would really enlighten our eyes to see the glory of who you are. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The gospel is something that is oftentimes assumed in churches, as I said previously. And I think if we're not careful, we can get used to hearing this message, and it kind of begins to fall on deaf ears, right? We kind of like, okay, I know that message. I've heard about it before. But, you know, I find it interesting how the Apostle Paul continually preaches the gospel to people, and not only people who are not believers, but to those who are believers in Christ. He's continually preaching the gospel to people who already know the gospel. You recognize this if you've read through like Ephesians or Romans, Galatians. All throughout his letters, he's continually bringing the church back to the gospel message. He doesn't apologize for that. He doesn't say, sorry, you guys, for reminding you. He's like, no, this is an important foundational thing that we must cling to. And we're going to see why that's so important for us as believers. It's not just for those who are going to come to Christ. It's for those of us who are in Christ. It really fuels us. It strengthens us. Yes, the gospel gives life to people who aren't believers, but it also empowers us believers to walk in all that God has for us. It sustains us. It strengthens us. It gives us strength to serve God. And we see here right off the bat in Romans chapter 1, Paul says here in verse 1, notice what he says. He says, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. And this is really, this phrase, the gospel of God, is really what Paul's going to get into as he writes the book of Romans. As we see these words from Paul, inspired by the Spirit, that's really what Paul wants to bring about here. He wants to really get into the nuts and bolts of this. What does it mean, the gospel of God? First of all, the gospel has to do with God. Okay, so Christianity, it's not a man-centered religion. It's a God-centered religion. As John Piper said in his book titled, God is the Gospel, I think that's well put, right? God is the gospel. At the end of the day, if you had to summarize the gospel, you say, it's God. It's who God is and what God has done. And that's what Paul gets into as he summarizes basically what he's going to talk about in the rest of the book in verses 2-7. He says, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. And so these first 7 or so verses are basically a summary of what Paul is going to flesh out in the rest of the book. The gospel, it's concerning God. It's about God. He's the center of the gospel. And expressly in verse 3, through the Son of God, right? We see Jesus is the one who comes for us, the God-man. He descends from the line of David. He's declared to be the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. It speaks about the lordship of Christ, that Jesus is not only Savior, but he's Lord, he's Master, he's ruler over all things. And so Paul's beginning to get into what the gospel is all about. And Paul expounds this actually in 1 Corinthians 15. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15. And I want to read verses 1 through 5 here because Paul clearly spells it out. What is the gospel message? He says this, "Now I would remind you, brothers," right? He's reminding them of something that they already know, "of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." Notice what he's saying there. Brothers, sisters, I'm going to remind you of something that you already know, the gospel that I previously preached to you, that you received, that you're standing in which you're being saved. He says this message is so important, whether you're an unbeliever or a believer, I need to preach this message to you. You need to hold fast to the word that I preached to you. And Paul here really stresses the importance of continual belief in the gospel. You see, sometimes when we talk about the gospel, believing in what Jesus has done for us, we go back to a previous experience, right? We go back 10 years or 20 years or maybe last year or a few weeks ago. We say, okay, that was the moment that I believed the gospel. I prayed the prayer. I received Christ. And oftentimes, if we're not careful, we can just be referring to that one point in our lives, which I think that's an important marker for us. But I think oftentimes the question for us is, how is my current belief in the gospel? How is my current passion for the gospel? Because Paul really stresses here. He says, you guys have to hold fast to this word. Unless you believed in vain. It's very possible for people to believe in vain. What does that look like? It looks like starting to believe the gospel and then fizzling out. You started passionately. You're like, yeah, you know what? I had this passion and this desire for the gospel and for what God's done for me. But as time goes on, you begin to cool off. And Jesus talked about the soils, right? The different soils, the ones who it looked like they received the word with joy, but then the cares and the pleasures of the world choked out the word. It looked like they received the word that it was fruitful, but then the thorns begin to choke out the word. Persecution comes and people fall away. The world has a lot to offer. And as sometimes we fall for that temptation, right? We give in to the things that the world has to offer us and we kind of bite the bait. And you see people all the time, and we've experienced this in our own hearts. We are so prone to wander. We're so prone to stray. Just because you start well does not mean that you'll finish well. And the call that Paul has here is for us as believers to continue to believe the gospel, to hold fast to the word that was preached to us so that our faith would not be in vain. And then in 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 3 through 5, we see that Paul gets into what is the message of the gospel. Okay, we see the importance of holding fast to the gospel, but now what is it that we're to hold fast to? Look at what he says. "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received." Paul's like, I gave to you first and foremost the most important thing. The thing that I received from the Lord, I'm giving to you. This is a good pattern for us in ministry. What are we doing when we're ministering the word, when we're doing Bible studies, when we're encouraging each other? We're merely giving to other people what God has given to us. He says this, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and then he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. And so he says, hey, this is important. This is the first thing that I gave to you, the first, like the most important thing that I can give to you. It's this message that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. He was buried. He was raised on the third day. And this changes everything for us. This message of what Jesus has done for us changes everything. In Romans, as we turn back, let's go back to Romans 1. In Romans, Paul is going to lay out what he said in 1 Corinthians 15. He's going to lay out the implications of that for us as believers. He's going to get into the details of that. And so in the first few chapters of Romans, Paul is going to say, hey, in order to appreciate the good news, you must understand the bad news. And this is the bad news, that all have sinned, that all have fallen short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. One of the biggest lies that people believe today is that they're good enough to get to heaven. If you were to ask someone on the street if they're a good person, chances are most people would say, yeah, I think I'm a pretty good person. We hear this all the time from people. People genuinely believe that they are good people. Yeah, there's some bad apples in the world, but there's going to be those things. And, you know, whatever you look at, there's always going to be bad apples. But oftentimes, people think that they're good. And the Bible confronts that and says, hey, you're not good. It's not saying you can't do good things. Of course, we're made in the image of God. We can do good things. But it just means that when it comes to salvation, when it comes to heaven, only perfect people get to heaven. Did you know that? God is holy. God hates sin. God cannot allow sinners into his holy heaven. And there we have the problem. We might fall short in different ways. There might be people who are doing worse than us. There might be people who are doing better than us. But the truth of the matter is, no one is perfect. We've all lied at different times. We've all cheated. We've all lusted in our hearts. We've all had idols in our hearts, things that we love more than God, things that we're more passionate about. We've all said hurtful things to people. We've all held tightly to our own righteousness. We've all had pride in the good things that we do. That's also sin. And so Paul lays out this case and he's saying, hey, you know what? Whether you're religious or you're not religious, you're guilty. You have fallen short of the glory of God. And we must come face to face with this. And the law really exposes, and the law of God really shows us where we're falling short. And it shows us our need for the Savior. And so Paul begins Romans in that way. He says, hey, before I get to the good news, you must first understand the bad news. Paul's going to go on in Romans, and he'll get to the good news. Right, Romans 6, 23, it kind of sums up our condition apart from Christ, but also Christ's provision for our condition. And it says this, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So Paul unloads in the first few chapters the weight of sin, the penalty that we deserve for our sin, the wrath of God that's abiding upon us. But then he says, you know what, you guys? That's not the end of the story. Yes, the wages of sin is death. We all deserve that. Physical death, but also spiritual death, eternal separation from God. That's how weighty our sin is. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And when we really understand how lost we are apart from Christ, when we really understand the condition of our hearts apart from Christ, that paves the way for us to understand God's remedy for that condition, God's provision for our situation. And I think some of us forget this. I think as you begin to walk with the Lord, and it's been maybe some years for some of you, You've been walking with the Lord for some time, and I think it's easy for us to forget what it feels like to be lost. We forget what it feels like to be under the wrath of God, to be cut off from God. We become desensitized from that place. And I think the scripture wants to remind us and say, hey, you were once lost. When you see the people around you who don't know Christ, who are wiling out, you're like, man, it's easy to judge them. But the Lord would say, you know what? You are one of them. That's you. Apart from my grace, you would be in the same place. This humbles us. This understanding allows us to say, you know what? We are all in the same boat. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. But you know what? Praise God. He's opened up your eyes to see the gospel, the glory of who he is and what he's done. Paul will go on in Romans chapter 1. And I just want to end here really with the theme of Romans, right? He gave a summary in the beginning part of Romans, the first seven verses. But now in Romans 1, 16 through 17, he really hits on the theme of Romans. These are powerful verses for us. Look at what he says here. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Paul here, giving some theme verses saying, you know what? I'm laying out the gospel for you guys. I'm preaching this gospel to you. Because it's the power of God, and I'm not ashamed of the gospel. That word power is where we get our word dynamite. This is the power of God. Dynamite is explosive. Dynamite can be dangerous. There's power packed in dynamite, right? And Paul's saying, hey, do you want to experience the power of God in this way? Preach the gospel. The power is in the word of God, preaching the gospel. And so Paul says, you know what? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not going to apologize for preaching it. How many times are we ashamed to bring up the Lord in conversation? How many times do we shy away from opportunities to be a witness for the Lord, to engage in these gospel conversations, maybe just engaging with people and just seeing how they're doing? Maybe we don't do that because we're fearful of, oh, what if God's calling me to share with them something or a verse or just say, you know what, can I pray for you for anything? We sometimes shrink back because we're afraid of what might happen or what God might call us to do. But I just want to encourage us with this. You guys, the gospel is the power of God. God uses weak vessels for his glory. We're not powerful. We're weak. Paul would say in another place, we have this treasure in clay pots and earthen vessels. We're weak people, but we have a powerful message. And we have a powerful God. And we have a God that's mighty to save. And so therefore, we don't need to be ashamed of the gospel. We want to proclaim the gospel because it's powerful and you never know who God wants to save. Paul says in verse 17, in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. And this is what we're going to get into as we look at Romans 8. We're going to see how this is fleshed out in our daily lives, how this affects us in the present, how the Holy Spirit helps us and gives us hope for the future, and how we can work with the Lord in the day-to-day, the mundane moments of life, the exciting moments of life, that our Christianity is not just for Sundays, but it's for Monday through Saturday. And I believe Romans 8 is going to be an encouragement to us. It's going to inspire, and my hope is that it would fire us up and give us a passion to see God move in our generation, in our community, in our lives, and that God would just fan into flame a passion for his name in our hearts and in our community, and that many people would come to faith, that we would spread this gospel message to people around us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for the beauty of the gospel, the glory of it, God, that you would come down for us. When we really think about it, God, there's no one that's loved us like you've loved us. No one's loved us with that perfect love, that unconditional love, the love that says, you know what? I love you so much, I'm going to give my life for you. I'm going to take the penalty that you deserve. I'm going to give you forgiveness of sins, eternal life, fullness of joy with me forever. We thank you that you've made this available to us, Lord. And I know there are many people in the world, there's millions of people who've never heard your gospel, God. And oftentimes we don't know what we've been given. Father, I pray that you would send us, Lord, that you give us willing hearts to be used by you. I pray for those here that you're calling to go to the nations, Lord. I believe there's people you're calling to bring your gospel to these places where people never heard of your name. And we just pray for those you're calling to go, God, that you give them a willing heart, you give them boldness, you provide for them, and you lead them in your timing into what you have. Help us to be your faithful witnesses here in this community, at our workplaces, in our families, that we would see you do great and mighty things, and that you would give us boldness, God, that we would be unashamed, that we would proclaim your word. Give us your wisdom, give us your insight, give us trust in you. We praise you, we thank you for who you are, and all that you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.